Philippians chapter number 3. And while you're turning there, I just want to make mention.
We want to get back into doing specials on Sunday morning. I know I appreciate them. I appreciate somebody coming up and singing for us, and we want to get back into that
again.
And so I talked to Laura about that this morning, and we're going to try to get some sort of schedule together. And it would be the best if, instead of having to fill two different time slots, if we found it, we find it more easier if we could have one person, or I'm sorry, whoever the group is that's singing, do it for both services, and then after they sing for the second service, then they can just head out, type of thing. So we're hoping we can do that. I think the main thing is just having an accompaniment for both, whether the accompanist stays for both, whatever the case we have to do. We got to figure that out. I think we're gonna like having that back, right? Also, I thinking about communion. We got to have communion, okay? That's part of what a church needs to do, right? And we're gonna have that here soon. And I'll announce when it is. But we will have that, okay? Philippians chapter 3, you're there. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. But before I do, let's quickly run over a review. Last week we brought out the truth that Paul was saying how that a real and genuine and dynamic relationship with Christ surpasses everything. Right? It surpasses everything. The Apostle Paul, after all his counting, his past works, all his counting of his present, the summation was still a loss. Anything and everything that this world had to offer the Apostle Paul was inferior to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And remember, Paul was not talking about just a head knowledge, right? He was talking about a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. He was talking about an experiential relationship with Christ. In fact, the only thing that mattered to the Apostle Paul was his relationship with Christ. That's what mattered. His relationship with God meant more to him than anything else. Remember, that was a question that I asked us last week. Is your relationship with God worth more to you than anything else? Well, folks, I guess to review that question, did you meditate upon that question this past week? Did you think about that this past week? Did you put Him first this past week? Did you make Him a priority, or is it all about Him? Is everything about Him, or is it about you? Is it about us? What is it about? Perhaps it's about the great American dollar or what you can gain for yourself. It's not about that. How is our relationship with God grown over this past year? Think about that question. You know, you think about growing. Should we ever stop growing as a Christian? Well, the answer to that is a resounding no. We should never stop growing, ever. But when you think about it, how has your relationship grown? We're going to talk more about that in the coming moments. But we also saw in verse 9 how that, thank God, our righteousness comes from Christ. Right? Verse 9, it says, "And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So we, like Paul, shouldn't be trusting in our own merits, right? But trusting in Jesus Christ for His righteousness that He has imputed to us, upon us. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul here is exposing the difference between a legal relationship, which we talked about the Judaizers stress, these legalists stress, okay? And it's a difference between that and a personal connection, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The difference is between living and trusting in your own righteousness and living and trusting in Christ's righteousness. The difference. Then we went on to see in verses 10 through 11, we saw Paul's relationship with Christ. He wanted to know Christ. The word know is the word for gnosko, we said, and it's referring to being repeatedly and constantly in the state of knowing Christ. That was his driving passion. Knowing Christ, knowing God. And this was his driving passion 30 years after his salvation. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means that every single one of us, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been saved, your driving passion should still be to know God. Could that describe us? Could this describe us? Are we constantly and repeatedly in the state of wanting to know God better? Do we really understand, folks, what this means or what this could mean as a Christian? When we strive to know God better and have a better relationship with God, that's going to translate into us having a better relationship with those around us. Do you understand that? Right? Just in the marriage alone. Okay, we'll just talk about the marriage. We were counseling with some young couples that are about to get married, and we told them that if you strive to have a close relationship with God, then your marriage is going to be a good marriage. Right? Because if you're loving God like you should be loving God, then you're going to love your spouse like they should be loved, right? You're going to treat your spouse the right way. And so when you love God, when you strive to know God better, guess what? All of our relationships are going to be good. Because the closer you get to God, the better your relationships become. It's that simple. Lastly, just by way of review, we talked about the thought of conformity at the end. Conformity. Folks, like, are we like Christ? Are we willing to conform? Christ, when you think about Christ, just in two areas, okay? In conforming to his Father, he had to come to this earth and live a selfless life, right? And he had to die and give up his life, and he was selfless. Are we willing to conform in that way, in that manner, becoming selfless? Not only becoming self, did he become selfless, but he chose a path of radical obedience. Remember, I talked about that? Radically obeying his Father unto death. He didn't have to, folks. He chose to radically obey his Father even unto death. So that's what we covered last week, but let's pray before we get into verse 12. Dear Father, Lord, I pray that you would speak through your word today to your people. Lord, I ask that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit, empty me of my pride, fill me with humility. Lord, I pray that your word would speak to your people today. I'm thankful that it doesn't return void. I'm thankful that it's sharper than a two-edged sword and it pierces us. And Lord, I pray that you would allow, that your people would allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives today. Lord, I pray that we would desire to know you more. I pray that we would desire that we would realize today, based upon the message, based upon your word, that we have not arrived. We are not perfect. We have not attained. We have work yet to do in the area of spiritual maturity. And I praise God for that, that we can continue to grow closer to you. Dear Father, I just pray that you would work in a great way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get into verse 12, let me just make a couple statements. Let me start off by saying this. Whether you know it or not, if you ever get to a place where you think you have arrived spiritually, it's at that time that you will stop or you will cease to grow. Right? On the other hand, when you are willing to admit that there are areas in your life where you need to grow spiritually, that is a Christian who is maturing spiritually. Okay? That is what these verses are about, 12 through 14. It's all about growing spiritually. In these verses, we see a glimpse into the Apostle Paul's life. And you know what we're going to find? We're going to find that even the Apostle Paul says that he had not arrived. Even the Apostle Paul realizes that he had not attained, that he is not perfect. And even the Apostle Paul realizes this. And folks, my hope is at the end of this message today, we will walk out of here realizing, wow, we have work to do. We have not arrived. Verses 12, 13, we see, first of all, that Paul is looking inward. Look at this in verse 12. He says, at the beginning of verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now jump to 13. He goes, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. So he is not perfect. He is not attained. He is not apprehended. He is taking an inward look and realizing that he is not what he should be yet.
Right?
He's still going through this process of sanctification. Think about it with me. Paul had all the reasons in the world, in the Christian standards or whatever you want to call them, he had all the reasons to be filled up with pride based upon who he was, right? You think about the Apostle Paul. He was chosen as an apostle to the Gentiles, okay? He was also used of God in a great way to write 13 books of the Bible. Apostle Paul was a soul winner. The Apostle Paul was a preacher of the Word of God, and yet, in regards to the Christian life, it seemed that Paul had all his ducks in a row, if we will. It would seem that many would look upon Paul and say, wow, he's arrived. Yet Paul knew the truth about himself. He took an inward look, and he looked at himself, and he realized, I have not arrived. I am not perfect. I have not attained. There is maturing for me yet to do as a Christian. There were still areas of growth. And his goal in his life was to be Christ-like, was to have the mind of Christ, as was talked about at the beginning of Philippians. As Paul began to look inward into his life, he quickly realized that he had areas still of growth. Folks, let me just say this. We need to be aware, be careful of people who say that they have arrived. Hopefully you've never met anybody like that. Hopefully that's not you. We have not arrived, right? 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he what? Fall. Right? Galatians 6:3 says, for if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Amen. We must understand, folks, all of us, none of us, myself included, have not arrived to perfection. We have not. One day we will, but right now we're not there. We're not there, this side of heaven. So how does this apply? How do we apply this to our lives? Let's talk about this for a second. Well, first of all, Hopefully you don't believe that you have arrived. Okay? Let me give you some lists. Okay, let me just give you a list of things in our life that would maybe get you thinking about things that you still need to work on. Okay, first of all, perhaps it's forgiveness. Maybe you struggle with that. I know there's many people who struggle with forgiveness. You know, they say, well, this person has asked forgiveness for this already. Why should I forgive them again? You know, maybe it's forgiveness that you struggle with. Perhaps it's bitterness. Okay, forgiveness undealt with will lead to what? Bitterness. And the bitterness is a it's like gangrene. It'll destroy you from the inside out. And maybe it's bitterness that you have to work on, that you realize, okay, God, I have not attained. I have not arrived. I still need to work in this area. Perhaps it's being truthful. I think sometimes people just lie they just lie. They don't even realize they're lying sometimes, but they're just lying. They have a hard time being truthful. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to work on that yet, and you haven't arrived. Maybe it's your allowing the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in your life rather than allowing the flesh to work and rule and reign in your life. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's letting go and letting God. In other words, simply saying it's you struggle with trusting God. And you need to work and grow in this area yet. Maybe it's just simply being a servant, right? Maybe you have a hard time just saying, you know what, I should do that because it's a servant's thing. I should be doing it. It's a servant attitude. Maybe it's sharing the gospel. You know, maybe that's an area that you need to work on, that you've realized, okay, God, I've not arrived. Maybe it's loving your wife like Christ loved the church, guys. Maybe some area that you need to work on. Maybe it's respecting your husband like the Bible teaches, ladies. Whatever the case may be, I've just given you about 10 areas or so of growth that we can work on in our lives. How are we doing with just those 10 areas? How are we doing at growing spiritually? Have we arrived? Resounding no. Okay? We have not arrived. There is work to do. So as the Apostle Paul looks inward, he realizes that he has not arrived. He is not perfect. There is a lot yet to do. And so as the Apostle Paul did, let us look inward and realize that there are things that we should be doing as we grow and mature spiritually. Okay? Not just realize it, but actually do something about it too. Okay? Notice also in these three verses, 12, 13, and 14, how Paul is actively growing. He's actively growing spiritually. Verse 12, it says at the end of the verse, it says, "But follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." And then in verse 13 at the end, he says, "This one thing I do." And then in verse 14, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So notice how he's actively seeking to grow spiritually. Notice, first of all, the phrase where he says, "I follow." Okay? The phrase "I follow," he says, literally his meaning behind this phrase is to run swiftly in order to catch a person or an object. To run swiftly. The idea here is about, in commentaries, refer to it as sometimes we're chasing a hunter chasing after prey, as well as the Apostle Paul, I think his meaning was more so talking about the Olympics and running to, as he says later on, running for a prize, in reference to running and chasing after that finish line. Whatever the goal is, whether it's an animal as a hunter or a finish line as a runner, he's really talking to pursuing after, right? Pursuit. And for Paul, it was pursuing what meant most to him. And what meant most to Paul? That relationship with Christ, right? A close, genuine, dynamic relationship. In other words, he realized that he had been saved also for a purpose. And with that, Paul was not satisfied until he had apprehended that which he had been apprehended. Folks, ask ourselves this morning, ask yourself this, are you pursuing after Jesus? Are you pursuing after that close, genuine, dynamic relationship that the Apostle Paul was pursuing after? Could that be said of you? Is anything and everything all about your pursuit of knowing him better? Folks, that should be our goal, by the way. That should be one of our goals. Pursuing a closer relationship with God. But also notice, he says, "This one thing I do." Paul was focused on this one thing, reaching that goal. Notice that he left the past behind him and he reached for the future. I believe Paul was successful in the Christian life because he had a one-track mind. Right? He had a one-track mind. Nothing was more important to him than knowing God. I believe one of the problems that we have with modern-day Christianity is that not many of us can say this phrase, "This one thing I do." Not many of us can say that. Why? Because many of us are pulled and yanked and ripped apart in many different directions when we're busy and busy and busy. And let me just say this. I believe Satan can use the busyness of our lives to destroy our Christianity and to hinder us in our Christianity because we're so busy on everything that's going on around us, busy with our jobs, busy with our families, busy with, you know, our sports or busy with whatever, that we lose sight of our relationship with God. What's most important? "This one thing I do," he says. Can I challenge you folks to start developing that one-track mind? Start to consider, folks, what really matters. What really matters? Because as it's been said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. He also says, forgetting those things which are behind. The word "forgetting" here is a good word. When you look it up, it's referring to cease to be affected by. That's what it's talking about here. In this setting, in this context, to cease to be affected by. In other words, forgetting it all. Not only our failures, but also the successes. Okay, forgetting it all. Because if you run with your one eye on your successes, then you're going to rely on those things and think that you have you're going to rely on those accomplishments, those successes. But if you have an eye on the past failure, then you're going to think about, okay, I'm falling, I'm going to fail, so why try again? So forget those things which are behind. By the way, in regards to legalism, which you've talked about in other messages, as you are running this race, as Paul is pressing toward the mark, as he's doing these things, as you're running the race, stop looking around at others. Okay? Stop looking around at others during the race. There will always be those in the race that will be ahead of you. There will always be those in the race that are behind you. There will always be those that maybe might fall out of the race, okay? Or stumble, or whatever the case may be. But don't worry about others around you and what they're doing. Your duty is to run the race and please the Lord Jesus Christ, right? When we run, He should be the sole focus of our attention. Not everything else around us. Hebrews 1:12 kind of speaks to this. It says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Jesus. Okay, not looking around at everything else, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we're looking at Jesus when we're running the race, not at those around us. It's not about others. It's about our own race. It's about looking at Jesus. Amen? Goes on to say in verse 13, reaching forth. It says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth. This phrase is a good phrase too. It refers to as you near the finish line, you can almost see as they lean forward. Everybody watch a track and field race where they're running and they're just, you know, Olympic race, and they're running. They get to the end and they just lean forward. That's the idea here. Reaching forth, leaning forward, reaching out with all that he has. Paul's saying, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to reach out with all that I have as I run this race. I don't know about you, but that's a convicting thought for me. Paul was giving it all. Can we honestly say in our Christian life that we are straining to reach forth for the goal? We're straining. We're straining forth to be more like Christ. Honestly, most believers in the Christian life, for them, is a hit or miss. Let me explain. In the Christian life, it's a hit or miss because, let's say, I'll give you this day of the week, Lord, or I'll give you this time slot in the day, Lord, but the rest of the day is mine. It's hit or miss. This was not the case for Paul. Paul was constantly straining, giving his all to the Lord. He was not content to just sit around and to wait for God to work, but rather he was busy straining, making it happen, working for the Lord. He was out there reaching forth, giving it his all. He was trying with everything that he had to reach the fullest potential for God's glory. Folks, let this be a lesson to you and I today. Perhaps we need to be reaching forth like Paul did and giving it our all rather than taking what comes to us, right? Let's strive to win the race. He goes on to say, I press toward the mark. Now that phrase is actually kind of packed full there, but I'm going to just focus on the word mark. The word mark here carries with it the idea of a goal in view. Okay, a mark, like a finish line. I remember when I was in eighth grade, I played tackle football for New Lisbon. And I remember my coach telling me, I was a running back, he said, if you break loose, don't look around you, don't look at who's next to you, don't look at who's behind you and turn your head, just look at that goal line and run after that goal line and get there as fast as you can. Because if you look behind you, that might slow you down or scare you or whatever. Just run as fast as you can and stare down at that goal line and get to the finish line. And that stuck with me. And this, in Paul here, he's saying, press toward that mark. I had that goal line in view. And this was Paul. He was oblivious to his surroundings. He was just heading for that goal. He wanted to finish well. Folks, can I say, when he did reach the end of his life, guess what? He left behind a legacy that he had done well. Right? 2 Timothy 4:6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have what? Kept the faith. He had saw that. He pressed toward that mark. He had that goal in view, and he met that. He finished the race well. Folks, do we press toward the mark? Do we have that goal in view? If not, well, my prayer is that each of us, myself included, would recalibrate our thinking and start living a life that is pressing towards the mark with everything that we have. But notice also what Paul is running for. He's running for a prize. Not just any prize, but the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It says in verse 14, it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the Lord had called Paul for a reason. He had called him to carry out his duty as a Christian, just as we are called out as a Christian. We have a duty before us. Paul also knew that successful completion of this race would allow him to enjoy the rewards of the prize. He was running for the prize. By the way, Jesus saved you to do a job for him. And when we run the race that he has set before us and we live our lives in pursuit of that prize, then we too will receive the rewards. You know, I was at family camp a couple weeks ago, and Ben Everson was preaching, and he preached a very powerful message on a Wednesday night, and I think it will stick with me for a long time. It was really good. Just really appreciated the message. And in the message, he was talking about how we can't take anything to us, but we can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, right? We can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. He was talking about how when we get to heaven, we're not going to be able to have anything to give to the Savior other than the prizes we've won, right? That we can cast back at the Savior's feet. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be standing there empty-handed. That'll break my heart. You know, that's probably the worst thing, but standing there empty-handed, and here, I want to be able to have some rewards to cast back to my Savior. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Okay, my labor. I'm going to receive the reward of my labor. You're going to receive the reward of your labor. This isn't socialism. Okay. Matthew 25:21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So folks, just as there's a prize for winning a race here on this earth, right? You might get a trophy or something. There's a heavenly prize to win at the end of our life. Are you running for that prize? Are you? Something that's really going to matter for eternity, right? Not seeking after the American dollar and what you can gain here on this earth. We also see verse 15 through 16, just quickly, it says basically this in summarization. Paul is saying this in these verses. Be like-minded. Okay, look at what it says in verse 15. It says, let us therefore, so you look back to see what's there, right? Verses 12 through 14. So let us therefore, as many be as perfect, be thus minded, as be perfect, be thus minded, okay, be like-minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal unto you, reveal even this unto you. So if you think you're perfect, God's going to reveal to you that you're not. Okay? Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto to have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. In other words, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is urging Christians, and the Holy Spirit is urging us to walk and live our lives as pleasing unto the Lord. Okay? Be like-minded. He wants this church at Philippi to pursue after God like he was pursuing after God. He wants them to persistently press toward the mark. He wants them to grow in the Lord and realize that they have not attained. There's much more work to be done. He wants them to be like-minded. So, as we close, let's face it. All of us in our lives have had times where we have been complacent. Right? in the area of Christian growth. We become complacent. We become okay with where we are at spiritually. We have, in a sense, we might not say it, but we have arrived. You might not say it, but all your actions point to the fact that you think that you have arrived. You know, it could be seen that you're not actively seeking to grow in your relationship with God. And if that is you today, I pray that God would help you to recalibrate your thinking and realize, God, I have much growth to do yet. Are you putting Him first in your life? You know, are there some areas of growth that you need to work on? Can I just say, I know I got work to do. Let me put it forth. I know you have work to do. All of you. We all have work to do in the area of growth. Maybe you're not in a place of complacency. Maybe you are at a stage of life where God is really working and you're growing leaps and bounds. And that is awesome. And I applaud you for that. And I say this. I say, don't lose your fervency towards that. Right? It's so easy. Some little minute thing can get you off track and then you can lose sight of the goal. Lose sight of the goal line. The goal line becomes a little furry. Becomes a little blurry. I'm sorry, furry. Becomes a little blurry to you, and you don't know where it's at. And I'm saying to you, let's not lose that fervency that you have in your growth. Folks, I don't know how the Word of God spoke to you today, but I know that based upon God's Word, it says it will. It will. And so, folks, all I'm saying today is do something with it. Right? Do something with the Word of God today. Let's strive to have a closer relationship with God, and let's realize that we have not attained. That's the biggest thing sometimes, is to realize, right? Is it because, you have to realize you're a sinner, right? That's one of the first things you have to do. Realize that, okay, God, I got work to do. And once you come to the realization that you have work to do, then you can start working on all those things and getting closer in your relationship with God. Now, if you're not a believer today, then you can't have that close, intimate relationship with God. So if you're not a believer today, then my prayer for you is that you would once and for all put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it's simple. And if you have questions, I would love to talk to you about it after the service. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we're thankful for your Word. I am so grateful for the Word of God and how it does not return void. Lord, I pray that this would be, this would ring true in our lives, that we would realize that we have not arrived, we are not perfect, and there is much work to be done yet in our lives. And I pray that we would just actively seek to be growing in the Lord like the Apostle Paul was, and he was striving, he was reaching forth to that goal line. Lord, help us to be focused on you in this race and not focused on what's going on around us, that we are so busy. Such a busy, busy people nowadays, and everything that's going on around us, we can so easily lose sight of what's most important. So Lord, I pray that you would help each of us here this morning to recognize that, but not only recognize that, but do something with it and start growing in our relationship with you again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.